This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. And our special guest on today's episode of 5x5, the captain of the mothership herself, Ann Kirby.
She didn't know we were going to do that.
Ann, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
This is your second time on 5x5, I believe.
I know, I'm so lucky.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast. Oh, you are. Yeah. Especially
no,
for
I
our,
love it on the show. It's a great show.
Particularly for our global audience. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm the founder of The Candy Factory, a co-working space in the heart of Lancaster.
That's it.
Okay, yeah. That's it. That's all she did.
You just founded The Candy Factory and wrapped it up?
I have a couple other projects. My background's in design and marketing. Part of So Good Media, which is a great project born here at the Candy Factory.
And the producers of this program, Good Media.
Yeah.
You're a mom.
Yeah, I'm a mom.
See, there's a lot.
All kinds of stuff going on here.
Lots of stuff.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We're talking about this place called the Candy Factory for the members of our global audience. Do we make candy?
No, we do not make candy. We should.
At this point. The Candy Factory is a co-working and social club located right here in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Community memberships start at $100 a month.
It's like the best deal.
That gets you in the door anytime. We're open Monday through Thursday, 8 to 6, Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon. It's an awesome place. Come and hang out, have a cup of coffee, read the newspaper on Saturday morning. You can work if you want,
mm-hmm.
or you can just be social.
Yeah.
We also have social events up on our 6th floor venue. All that's coming back.
Yeah, all of our events are rolling out.
It's time. If you're new to the program, here's how it works. So I have an iPad. His name is Frank. He's sitting right here. Frank's going to dish up 5 random topics. We're going to talk about each topic for 5 minutes, hear a little jingle. If you're lucky, do a little dance and move on to the next topic. That's it. It's simple. This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast. We've been doing this for a long time. Episode 59.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. You feel good?
I feel good.
You feel ready to go?
Ready to go.
Here it is. Our first topic of today's 5x5 podcast. Interneting with parents. Interneting with parents.
Like interneting.
You know how this works. It goes
like
anywhere. It goes anywhere we need it to go.
Okay. Taking care of parents.
Yes.
Internet.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. providing IT support for parents.
Mm-hmm. This wasn't inspired by a recent incident.
My father called me because his internet was broken.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about parents and the internet is my parents in particular have never really understood the concept that it's not about them. Like since the beginning, since the early days of the internet, say the late 90s, the early 2000s, my mother felt like that spammers, like spammers, it was personal, like that they were targeting. She's like, she would complain to me, like, how did these people get my address? they never got the concept that it was just a robot and a blast, and it would just be these random combinations of letters. And I think it just goes back to a generation. They're almost 80, mm-hmm. right? They're in the late 70s. And I think it just goes back to this different time. And just they just didn't flip, right? When the computing stuff and the internet and all that really became so popular.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was a little bit more like everything was very personal, like a phone call or that kind of communication.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, my dad sent me a message. And he sent me a text message, and he said, call me, internet's broke. And I called him up, and we had to do the FaceTime because his internet was broke, so I couldn't just screen share. So he had to hold up like so we're FaceTiming on an iPad, and he was holding up his laptop.
Which should have also shown that the internet wasn't broken.
Well, that's true.
But that's okay.
It was the computer. It was the electronic computing device that was actually broken. It turned out to be some free spyware.
Mm-hmm.
Some free
Do not click it.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, I mean, it is complex.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For
that's
the, fair. I mean, if you really don't have an understanding of how it all works, it can be very upsetting and.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what my point was. That when that happened, they already had a lot of life behind them, and then it was already there was so many set patterns.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's what I'm anticipating, frankly, with things like crypto,
or like metaverse.
And metaverse.
Yeah.
I'm completely, I do have an awareness that I'm going to stop. This is going to be, I'm going to be like Amish. I'm going to be digitally Amish. I'm going to pick a time. It's probably going to be around 2027, okay. 5 years.
You heard it only first. 5 years
2027, I'm going to start getting off the bus.
No.
It'll be 2027 because I'll still use the stuff we have now. Email's not going to go away in 2027.
I don't know. It's not even going to work. Like email everything it. Will just stop working.
It'll be the true Y2K like disaster. Yeah. Just like everything.
We were just talking about how we survived Y2K.
We did survive.
Your parents did too.
My parents were right there.
How long did it take you to get through the canned goods? Do you remember?
For Y2K?
Yeah.
Oh, March.
Oh, my dad had like a bunker. Like it was the end of the world.
If like you, honestly, like and I mean, I was 9 when that happened, and I still remember. Like we, it was like. It was a thing. If you're younger than me and you don't remember,
I do remember. I do specifically remember watching the news. Mm. I was staying with my brother. My brother had a big party in Palmyra, and I was staying,
like, the world is gonna end.
We were partying pretty hard. In fact, my friend Dave. I found my friend Dave sleeping at the kitchen table with a burned out cigarette in one hand and a shrimp.
That's great.
With some, it had some sauce.
Oh God! Well, he tried.
It had some sauce on it, and it was almost like he dipped it, and then passed out like that with his hand holding a shrimp with some sauce on it and a burned out cigarette sitting at the. Anyway, I woke up and I put on the news to see the disasters to watch like all the
explosions,
everything's the explosions, the volcanoes, all the eruptions, and there was a guy like a news reporter up in Harrisburg at a traffic light that was blinking. Yeah, like a traffic light like in Mechanicsburg was out. Uh-oh. And he was like, we're not sure yet if this is related to Y2K, but there's a traffic light out. Of course, zero people were driving. There was nobody out except for him and his cameraman.
Just good.
I do know that there were teams of developers, though, who had worked on some infrastructure to make sure that certain things were okay.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot
before.
Of prep.
A lot of prep, I think.
A lot of prep, and they did it. Because nothing happened. Diggs, you're 20 years my junior. So what is internet netting with your parents like?
Well, mom's pretty good. She, like, not pretty. No, she's good. It's just, it's sometimes the silly questions I get that I'm like, why didn't you just Google that? Because she was the person.
So you're Google. So she digs it.
Sometimes. It's usually when it's the times when I'm just like, this. If I had asked you this question, the first thing you would have said was dictionary, thesaurus, or something.
Right. So, right back at you, mom.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's when you say GTS that. Google that shit.
No. That would cause so much more confusion. And dad's been, he was slow to smartphones, but like once he got it, he was good. Yeah.
Well, the browser's throwing a 404 on topic number one, my friend. It's time to move on to topic number two.
You're getting a text.
Songs that should be retired out of respect. Songs that should be retired out of respect.
Well, I don't know if it's like... just give me a little
I don't
example.
Have any answers. I'm
was
reading this,
me?
Just like you.
Okay.
It was suggested by Dan and Diggs.
Ah.
Oh, okay. So... we were talking about I should have said covers. That's what I should have said.
Oh, I see.
So like we were literally I think we were talking about All Along the Watchtower.
Uh-huh.
And oh no, it was Hurt. That's what it was. And how like Nine Inch Nails stopped playing Hurt after Johnny Cash did it.
Oh.
They were just like, you've perfected it. This is beautiful. Like what more can we do?
Right.
I mean they eventually did like start playing it again, I think, after he died. But like there was that time where they just I think it was Trent Reznor himself was just like,
right,
that's it. So there's like other covers, like I don't know, All on the Watchtower. I mean, I don't think we should stick with the original version that Bob Dylan did, but like are there other like songs like that are just like somebody did it better
Oh, so just retire the original.
Yeah.
Retire the OG. Oh, yeah. That's an interesting thought.
I don't know if Johnny Cash did it better than Nine Inch Nails, though. I think that could be a debate.
Oh.
Gloves are off. Gloves are off.
Well, maybe you should retire the Johnny Cash version.
Trent himself said, I read it recently, an article about that where he was like very skeptical of it.
Well, yeah.
When it was happening, been. Especially at that time in his life. If you recall, that was like right in the middle of the Marilyn Manson stuff. He was deep into drugs. I mean, he was in a weird place making a lot of really, you know, crazy music. And then all of a sudden, Rick Rubin's working with Johnny Cash and they're going to cover that song. I'd be weirded out too. I'd be like, what the? But
he liked it.
He said he heard it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And was just sort of really moved by it and kind of blown away by it. Almost like but you know, it just makes me ponder just this idea of, across the board, who covered a song and where the cover is almost like more the standard version than the original. Mm-hmm. And I think that a good example of that would be Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You versus Prince's. Because it wasn't a hit for Prince.
Mm.
Yeah. In fact, I think it was on some B-side collection or some. I don't know. We'll have to Google that or post a link somewhere. Where did Prince originally release? It wasn't like on 1999 or on one of his big records. It might have been on an earlier record. But her version was just amazing.
Yeah, hers was great.
So what's an example of that for you? Like what's an example of a cover song that maybe even that you didn't know was a cover and you later found out?
I can't think off the top of my head, especially any that I would want to retire.
Well, let's move away from
it.
Yeah, we can move away from it. We're going to have to hang on that.
Yeah,
we're navigating these waters
right,
together.
Because we got from like shrimp and cigarettes with interneting parents that we could definitely go
anything
down.
Anything can happen on 5x5. Just remember that. Anything can happen.
I don't know. What song would you, what do you suggest?
That No, songs that, covers that were so, you know, fundamentally good.
Or at least not even like originals. Like if you ask somebody my age what Layla is, they're not going to go back to the original rock version of Layla. They're going to go to the what was that? Unplugged. Unplugged. That's what it was.
Eric Clapton's Unplugged. Yeah.
They're going to
what
go
a great
that.
Version of that song.
Yeah. Like, but for years I thought that was the only version of the song.
Yeah.
And then somebody, I was at a karaoke night and. Someone my age
like
wanted
playing the original,
but
rock,
they, right? Yeah. They wanted the unplugged version, but they got the rock version. And all like this was a Brickyard, I remember, and it was with Sid. Sid, shout out to you. And everyone was just like, "What the hell is this?"
So funny.
Didn't know it.
Had no idea. Never heard it.
I'll tell you, that's a great version of that song too. And I agree with you. Like that should just be
version.
It.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet by the Indigo Girls, which was originally a Dire Straits song.
Oh.
That's a great song. I don't know if you're familiar with that song, but it's when I got familiar with the Indigo Girls version of it, and then you know it was like, oh, that was a, I believe it was a Dire Straits Mark Knopfler track.
You know, that's what the show notes are for.
And yeah, it was just like hearing the original version of it, I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's not that good.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some great covers out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great covers of songs that, and then you know. Not that the original doesn't have any value, but songs that I guess I was interested, like you were, I mean, that was a cover of his own song, but
well, yeah.
but newer versions of songs that you were introduced to, Nothing Compares to You is, again, one of my top ones.
Mm.
I didn't know Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. I didn't know that song. I heard the Smashing Pumpkins version of it originally.
Yeah. The Smashing Pumpkins does a great version of that.
I think I knew it without knowing it. Like when I went back and listened to the Fleetwood Mac version, I was like, because I was like 21 when I heard the Smashing Pumpkins version of it. And besides the hits that were always on the radio, and for some reason that one just missed me. I think that version, I think the Billy Corgan version of that song is fantastic.
Yeah, I think, yeah, very much so.
Not to, then that's one where I would put them next to each other.
That's a fair.
I don't think one's better than the other.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm definitely tired of Hallelujah covers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think everybody on this planet would be satisfied with that. What's the best one?
It's okay.
In your opinion.
Just stick with
what's his name?
Blanking
his
name.
There's Leonard Cohen or Jeff Buckley's version.
Oh, fair
point. There's like 64 other ones, but yeah.
But I think that Leonard Cohen and Jeff Buckley would be the
top. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Rufus Wainwright does a version of it.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I say Hallelujah. Topic number 2 has moved on to topic number 3 of this episode's 5x5. The 2000s. The aughts.
Ooh.
The aughts. What did you think about the 2000s?
I enjoyed the 2000s.
But what was your Y2K experience? Let's start with that.
That's all we get.
Now I'm going to do a callback.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
We're doing a callback. On. Doing a callback. What was your Y2K like?
Okay, I seriously, now I could be completely wrong, but where I grew up, I couldn't make this up in my head, but I swear there was like a storm or the sky like the night before Y2K. It was just like, and everyone was a little worried by it because it was just, it felt freaky. Yeah, I'll have to just check the weather of Y2K, but yeah. And then we somehow survived. And the 2000s have been good for me. So
that particular decade, we're going back to the aughts. We covered the teens in episode 58.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some good shows, some good music, not as good as the 90s, but
you have a bias. What's your favorite music from the 2000s? From that decade. Gosh.
You put me on the spot. Like, I didn't
All right, we'll go to Diggs. The aughts. Anything about the aughts?
I mean, the overriding thing I'm remembering is whatever album Beautiful Day is on.
Oh, right.
Because that one Beautiful Day took off, just like that went mega, that was everywhere.
Right.
But then in the aftermath of 9/11, Walk On became like an anthem for New York. But there was a couple of anthems, like Walk On, it was some Bruce Springsteen song that he put together. But, like, those two became just like anthems of like, we're going to get through this. We'll like, so like that album... Wow, of course, all That You Can't Leave Behind.
Yes.
That album was just like that was my entry into the 2000s pretty much in terms of music.
Yeah, it's really interesting because 9/11 really defined, you know, I would say all the way up through till the Obama presidency in 2008. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there was just that, you know, when you think of 03, 04, 05, just there was so much focused around the after effects of that event.
Yep.
And in kind of the same way that the pandemic is defining the 20s, that event really defined that decade.
Well, Obama in 2008, so was the first political campaign I got actively involved in.
Mm.
So that's memorable.
Yeah.
9/11 is my birthday, so there's that. Like, so yeah, there was very, you know, some really big things happened.
Huge.
In the aughts.
And really, you know, there's so many crazy things have happened in the last 5 or 6 years. I think it overshadows how significant that was and the cascading effects, not just in this country, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly because we're talking about our experience here, you being in New York City, obviously massive implications there.
Yeah.
I just remember that like learning about the like world events and taking an interest. It's something that I had just never really understood, the history of Israel, Palestine, the Middle East, just all those different things that sort of wrapped around the next few years after that event. Like why, you know, the curiosity of why. And then you start seeing the events of the 90s and how they interplayed with it. It was really, defined that decade, I think, for...
Oh, and tech.
Technology.
I remember like when laptops came into New York City public schools, that just blew our minds because we were so used to like the candy colored Macs or going even further back, the old like one click Macs that had Oregon Trail. And then all of a sudden it was like these laptops showed up and it was just like, what is this? Trying to get used to a touchpad. I remember that was such a struggle at first.
Yeah.
Also, just like, we don't have to plug it in. It's just a battery. What? Like, and so now
it's pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, it is mind blowing.
Computer, like.
Well, I guess the aughts also brought you the recession, right? The tech bubble, the housing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Lancaster.
The iPhone in 2007. You moved to Lancaster.
2001.
Mm. So yeah, there was a lot of significant change. I'm going to hang on that tech for just a little bit because when you really think about the difference between 1999 and 2009, right? And 2009 being, well, was it 2009, 2010 when the iPad was introduced? So you really have this evolution of big tan computers in the living room in the corner where you can't use the phone if somebody's on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Dial-up.
There's a busy signal. Ding. Anyway, there's that, right? And then broadband. And the shift away from phones that connect to walls.
Yep.
It just moves so fast.
That was a hell of a decade in terms of technology. right? Going from, like, if you go from 99 to 2009, mm-hmm. you go from really nothing handheld to the iPhone already being a couple of years old by 2009.
Oh, and also we went from, like, even with, like, mobile tech, we went from, like, the clunky smartphones to the really skinny small smartphones to now they're, like,
big again.
Ginormous.
Yeah. It's like a... Yeah, you're holding a computer.
I picked up my old BlackBerry, and I'm like, how did I type on this? Like, how did I look at this screen? It's so...
Well, you were younger, so your hands were smaller.
Eyes were better.
Yeah, that's fair point. Fair point.
Yeah, it was really crazy. You know, I guess every decade, you really kind of dissect these things that happen, but the 2000s were certainly around, I would say, the world affairs, technology, the recession.
Yeah, that definitely
at the end of it. Those are some pretty significant... happenings.
Yeah.
But as I say, the ball has dropped on.
CNN should hire us to do those recaps.
We should. Yeah. I think it's a fantastic idea. But it's time to move on to topic number four, which is open mic.
Ooh.
Open mic.
You two have never done open mics before in your lives, right?
We've done some open mics.
Yeah, a couple.
Is this the idea of what we get to talk about, the idea of the open mic? It's open. The floor's open. Can I just recite some poetry? Is that how
No. I'm sorry.
All right. The snow gently falls in the meadow.
I have my tambourine.
That was it.
That was
the poem. Yeah, it's a J. Koo. Anyway, I'm going to talk about open mics for just a second because I have experienced open mics through the... first in Nashville, Tennessee, when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee. Hmm. I went to Nashville and open mics. I was used to the idea of an open mic because I think in college you would have, you know, we'd had like a coffee shop or something, like an open mic, and we could get up and sing a song or say something. Mm-hmm. When I went to Nashville in the 90s, they were called writer's nights.
Hmm. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, because there was a focus on, there's such a focus on songwriting.
I was thinking poetry too. Like, so, but.
Well, yeah, I actually did go to some poetry, but they were different. So in Nashville in the 90s, let me just make this claim, that in Nashville in the 90s, there instead of there being an open mic, they were sort of subdivided into like writer's nights for songwriters and poetry readings, you know, kind of the renaissance of, or the throwback to the 60s coffee shop, coffee house thing. Mm-hmm. So there would be these poetry readings and things of that nature. You go and read your poetry, snap. All the way, and then, you know, when I moved away from Nashville, it was back to the standard open mic and where anything kind of goes.
Yeah, open mic is great. It gives people an opportunity to test stuff out, get in front of people, get comfortable in front of people, especially, you know, performing.
Yeah.
I like when open mics, we hosted one at the Candy Factory when they have a nice mix of music and spoken word and comedy. It's just fun.
You ever get up and do an open mic, Diggs?
Nope. I think I did. I think I participated in a group thing once where it was, I think we were commemorating, it was either high school or college, and like some teacher or somebody hit, oh yes, that's what it was. A teacher had passed away, and like a group of us got up and like took sections of a poem or a song or something and like read it in her honor. But no, I've dabbled with the idea of like the safe open mic because I'd never go up in like a public one. Like,
right.
I do one here. So if you become a member, this might happen.
Nice.
But I don't even know what I would do. I used to I used to sing. That's been a long.
Do you do karaoke?
No, specifically for that. There have been times when imbibing has been involved where karaoke took place. Don't let anybody drunkenly talk you into Drops of Jupiter.
Make a note of that.
Just we'll leave it there. There was one karaoke song I used to do, which is a song that my mom loves. And I just know the words backwards and forwards. And one time I told the guy that runs karaoke, he was like, you got to do that. Look of Love by ABC.
I don't know that song.
That's fine. Like there was like one other person to happen to know it. And then it became like our thing where she would like jump in for this one particular part where I needed a high voice, like a high,
it came like your song
part. Yeah, but otherwise no, it's not my I don't like.
So when you say safe open mic, you mean just like
well, like I know y'all, right. So it's like
we could do one here on 5x5.
Well, no I like y'all, but I don't know you that well. I'd rather do something like you know, randomly bring a guitar again, and then it's like, oh, do you know this song? And if it works, it works. If not,
Well, one of the things we talked about here at the Candy Factory on our our sixth floor venue. We host public events. You should check it out. Schedule a tour, coworkinginleinster.com. One of the things that we do up there, we started to do just in the fall, I guess, mm-hmm. was we tried an open mic. And it was really cool because our members who were attending, again, nice mix, music, some readings, authors who did some readings, comedy, that sort of thing. But one of the things that I had toyed around with was the idea of turning off not allowing phones. Because to make it even more safe, mm-hmm. because I think that what happens today is that you try something, and next thing you know, it's on the internet.
Yeah. Everyone has their phone out. Right. Everyone's recording it.
I want to just get up and sing a song or maybe recite a poem I wrote.
Didn't even think of that.
And next thing you know, it's on Instagram, and now, you know, I'm viral. I'm getting messages from products or brands wanting me to, you know.
I'm all for banning phones during those things. Yeah. But we have talked about a karaoke night as well. So what's your karaoke song?
I don't do karaoke. I've never once in my life done karaoke.
Really?
Never.
What would you do if you just, you know, had to pick one?
I don't even know what I would do because I've just always, for some reason, I've always resisted the idea of karaoke. I haven't even really been in bars typically when there's been karaoke.
Oh.
Meaning like if I was hanging out, if it was karaoke night, I wouldn't go to that particular bar that night.
Mm.
When I don't have I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a Scrooge.
When I first moved to Lancaster, Blue Star was still a bar. It's no longer there.
I remember
and
that.
They had karaoke nights, and I would go with some friends.
What would you do?
Well, I have two songs, Patsy Cline, Crazy, and Killing Me Softly, the Fugees version.
I would have guessed that. I would have guessed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So karaoke night's coming to the Candy
Factory.
Totally
coming. Join us for karaoke.
That was our last act. Well, actually, it wasn't. It was the last act for topic number four. It's time to move on to topic number five. The final topic of today's 5x5, Caesar salad.
Ooh, so the Belvedere, which is really close to us, has one of the best Caesar salads in Lancaster.
Is that right?
Just have to plug the Belvedere.
Mm-hmm. I actually agree with that 100%.
I do too. Yeah.
They grill it, and it's just so tasty. People have tried to replicate it, and they just haven't been able to.
They can't, no. Are you a fan, Caesar salads?
Oh, in general, yes. Definitely also a fan of Caesar wraps. That's my big thing.
Oh.
Very picky. I'm not picky. I'll eat any chicken Caesar wrap, but I do get annoyed when it's not like pressed just a little bit. Like I hate when they just like wrap it up like a burrito and then just like, that's it. Like, nah, do a little pressing, make it a little easier to like handheld it and what.
Is a Caesar wrap like a Caesar inside the wrap or is it the like a lettuce wrap?
No. It's in a pita wrap or whatever that is. Yeah, that's great. Is it pita? It's a
tortilla.
Whatever.
Whatever you want it to be.
A wrap. I like the spinach, the green wraps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should do a spinach wrap one of these days. Yeah. But one of the better chicken Caesar wraps around here is actually Stubby's.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah. This is all like subjective, but in my opinion, yes. It's because they press it, so it's actually like it's like I don't have to like wrangle it together to be able to
eat
it. I also like that the chicken's also hot. I'm sorry, like before it gets pressed, like that's a big thing for me. There are some.
So there's an order of
chicken needs to be hot, and I want it pressed. At least the chicken needs to be hot. That's like my I can't stand cold, I don't even want it cold on like the salad. Like I still want that hot.
You want a hot chicken. Do you remember the first time you had a Caesar salad?
No.
Do you remember?
Next question.
Do you remember that? This is what I get. Do you remember like the first time that you were you walked into a restaurant and you were like, you know what, the Caesar, that's one of my go-tos.
I don't think Caesar's ever been one of my go-to salads.
Oh.
If I go to the Belvedere, I'll have a Caesar salad with chicken.
Yeah.
But it's not a go-to salad for me. I mean, I do like it, but especially if it has anchovies in the dressing, like real anchovy dressing, which is in Caesar salad dressing.
Not a fan. No.
It's not that I'm not a fan. It's just not my go-to.
So what's the go-to what
is your
salad?
What is your go-to salad?
I don't normally go-to salad.
French fries. Your go-to salad is gravy fries.
That sounds right. That's good.
I mean, cheese I know fries. I would prefer a Greek salad with some salmon over a Caesar salad with chicken.
Okay. Do you have a go-to? Caesar's not your go-to, is it?
For salad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I really go off that. Like, But one time I'll go off of, I'll still be a Caesar, but like, another random shout out. If you add the flank steak at Quips to their Caesar salad, another like medium and less. Like, it's just
got it.
So good.
You know, salads have really interesting nomenclature around them. Well, you ever notice that?
I don't get a lot of it.
I mean, it's weird. You understand salad nomenclature just because you're used to it, just because it's part of the culture. But when you really break it down and you think about like the different kinds of salads, you have like a chef salad.
Yeah, it's like right? what
Cobb salad.
A Cobb salad.
What is it?
And then a Caesar salad. You don't know what a
wedge
Cobb salad.
Salad.
I just can't keep track. It's like, but the thing is, like, then there's like this. There'll be like, no, well, in this place the chef salad has this, this, and this, and in this place we do the Cobb salad this way. It's like just what.
But the chef salad is typically what, like the chef salad is typically like the ham, turkey, and cheese. It's almost like a club sandwich.
Isn't a Cobb salad similar to that?
No, Cobb has the eggs and the bacon.
Oh, okay.
The hard boiled egg and the bacon, yeah. And then the Waldorf, there's the Waldorf. Now, that would be named after the place, right?
I think it's the hotel.
The hotel created that. Where did Caesar come from? Because, of course, they joke about Caesar.
I actually used to know the answer to this. Hold on.
Caesar's Palace.
It was a trivia question.
Our research department is going to look into that.
So I'm more of a lots of toppings, less salad kind of salad gal.
And Kirby, the salad gal.
More toppings. Less salad.
Less, when you say less salad, you mean the lettuce.
Like less
lettuce.
Less, right. Spinach, lettuce.
That's not
romaine.
Actually the salad. The salad is everything. Well. It's the whole part of it.
The base, less base.
Less green.
So it was created by a man named Caesar Cardini.
Ooh.
Okay.
In his Tijuana restaurant called Caesar's.
Ah.
There you go.
Makes sense.
So that was named after the place. The Waldorf was named after the place. But Chef's wasn't. Unless there was a guy who had a restaurant called Chef's. Nope. Didn't look that one up.
Well, here's a question. Favorite dressing?
Well, I was just going to go to dressing. I'm glad we went there because that's got weird nomenclature.
Well, right. And it depends on the salad.
It does depend on the salad.
So it's like, I'm not going to put Caesar dressing on a
non-Caesar salad.
If you had to take a dressing to a desert island, what dressing would it be?
You know, I go back to ranch. You know, ranch is a staple.
It's hard.
Ranch is a staple.
I would do balsamic, I think.
Really?
Mm.
I think I'd do French. That's what my grandmother had.
French.
Oh, French. Yeah. Okay, everyone eats French.
I want to break down dressings for just a second because you have these weird, you have French.
Yeah, which is orange.
Right.
Thousand Island is great.
Yeah, well, you have, what a goofy name that is.
And it's
a
very versatile dressing.
But there's a reason for that, wasn't
Tell
it?
Tell me.
Wasn't it because, I'm thinking of the Lakes one. Never mind.
The lettuce is wilted on this episode of 5x5.
Well done. That was good.
That was good.
It's the takeout salad. There's no such thing as leftover salad.
No.
It's the takeout salad that doesn't get finished, gets put back in the refrigerator, and the next day will never, ever, ever be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
You
soggy.
Might as well just throw that shit right in the trash.
Yeah. But there's always hope, though. There is hope.
We didn't even touch salads. Chicken salad, potato salad, macaroni salad.
No. That's no.
Because the topic was actually Caesar salad.
Well, that's fine.
That was the fastest 25 minutes in podcast.
Fastest. Best 25 minutes.
Did you enjoy yourself on 5x5?
I did. Thank you for having me.
Would you like to come back sometime?
Sometime, yeah.
I know somebody who can make that happen. Thanks, my friend. Always my pleasure to see you.
And you?
That was episode 59 of 5x5. Our next episode is episode 60. We're celebrating.
Woo!
At 5x5, we're not numerologists on 5x5. We really aren't, but we've got this thing with threes.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's 5x5, we really should have thought this through.
That's okay. That's
We're celebrating our 60th episode. Next episode, we're bringing back a special guest. Very, very special. Every guest is special in my book.
Yeah.
But we're bringing back a very special guest, episode 60, so be sure to tune into that. If you're on the internet, which you likely are, most people aren't watching us on Roku. So if you're on the internet, be sure to, we're going to start getting the emails.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on Roku, man?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you?
You
on the Weather Channel? You on Bravo? You guys on Bravo? If you're on the internet, click the things that on the internet means you like this, whether that's a thumbs up or a heart.
Help your parents with the interneting.
So thank you. Subscribe them.
Yeah. Walk your parents through the idea of listening to, liking, and subscribing to this show on whatever platform you're consuming it on. We would appreciate that.
You can skip comments, though. That'll confuse them.
You can skip comments. It's the like and the subscribe.
Excellent.
So wherever you're watching us from or listening to us from, all around the world, we have a global audience.
I know.
We thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we will catch you next time on 5. Bye.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at The Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy. Find 5x5
at the Candy Factory website, coworkinginlancaster.com.